Talking to the mic.
Hi, how's it going?
And I'm sorry to do this to everyone who's in the studio right now, mostly me and Paul, Brian together. Brian, can you turn that fan off?
Yes.
Cause it's just like I never listen. This is Open Up and Bleed on K-Chung Radio. I'm Eugene, a very special guest, but before I introduce him, let me say, I rarely ever listen to any show I've ever done. I've done over 190 episodes on this station, okay? And I was listening back to 2 weeks ago, and all I heard was the fans noise of the fans that love me, my fanatical listening audience, but the rotating blades that create wind. I heard them. I didn't even hear my wonderful guest. And this week, goddamn it, it's extremely important that you hear my incredible guest, one Mr. Will you introduce yourself, please?
Tall Paul Gelman, Silver Lake legend since 1993.
How do you feel about that? Okay, so if you were to say Silver Lake legend but not qualify it with a year number, numerical year, that would kind of sound embarrassing, right?
Well, I'm not like a legend like the walking reading man.
Oh, that man is a legend.
I think I'm coming up close.
But imagine how many fools are up in your lake, in Silver Lake right now, and they have no concept of it even existing before like 2005.
Yes.
And like, so to them, when you say you're a Silver Lake legend, they mean like, they just think like, oh, he started early gentrification process.
That's right. I was the first white man on my block to bring the torrential flood of douche that has arrived within the past 2 or 3 years.
You think just 2 or 3 years? Not like, well, yeah, there's
it's
been
a critical mass
there
right now.
There has been an exponential rise.
There's a bro
sure.
factor
a
on my
factor.
Block that
a bro
is
factor on your block.
Absolutely
out of
disgusting
this bro.
And not disgusting in
and,
a good way.
And not disgusting in a way like, ooh, yeah, that's so vile.
Like your shoes are disgusting.
Right. And not like in a way where like, you know, like are you ever attracted to straight men?
I'm attracted to what they call in the gay vernacular rough trade.
What does that mean?
Well, men that are on the street that
right.
are addicted to drugs.
Yeah, yeah, like dirty little pieces of scum.
Yes.
Like you don't know what they have. They could have anything.
They will have sex with
no, what
gay
I mean,
men.
Like they will have for money or just for fun or
and
for drugs.
And I find a lot of African American men uh-huh. on the street in my neighborhood are seriously on the DL. And I don't know if that's a little too controversial for the.
It's not. You're just talking about your experiences. You're not talking about a mass stereotype you just made. You're talking about experiences that you had.
Yeah, but I think certain groups of people just want to get their
fuck on.
You can say that.
Oh yeah, you can say whatever you want.
They want to get their dicks sucked.
Yeah, and do you like doing that?
I like cock.
You like cock?
Yes.
And not just your own, others.
More than my own, actually.
More than your own.
In my
Do you ever look down at your
face.
Dick and you're like, I hate this. I hate
well,
you.
Well, it's funny because I was texting Info 87 before you came in
oh
with
my God,
Hans Dobrotz.
Funny.
And we were, he
who?
Said,
who?
Hans Dobrotz, formerly of the band Dura Delinquent.
Right, okay.
And he said, who
here.
Would you, first he said, who would you fuck, Taylor Swift or Cam? And I said, who's Cam?
Right. Is
and then
Cam
he said,
wrong?
Well, how about Ryan Tricarton or Ryan Adams?
Right.
I said, Ryan Tricarton, but Ryan Adams, just to hear him scream.
Right.
And then he said, well, Ryan Tricarton probably is too fucked out. And I said, yeah, his asshole probably looks like a prune
right.
on a stick.
You could fuck
and then
him
Hans
with fists.
Said, I don't know what that would look like. And I said, bend over in front of a mirror and look above your tiny almond-shaped dangling parts.
Uh-huh. That's soft clapping there.
Anyway, I could relate that to this conversation about
yeah,
looking
yeah.
at well, my own dick.
Well,
And have you done that yourself, bent over in front of a mirror to check out your own asshole?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I know I did. You know why? Oh, my God. You know, remember my friend Janine? You ever meet her? She's from Baltimore. You definitely met
not
her.
Sure.
She's an
uh-huh.
old, dear friend of mine. And she came to visit here. I made a movie about a year and a half ago. I actually asked you to be in it, but you were going out of town for your yearly picnic or whatever the fuck gay bash trip hike.
Yes.
Your bashful gay hike.
We sit around the campfire and play a game where we see who has the hairiest asshole.
I knew it was going to go back to assholes. And Brian's outside there just enjoying slurping his noodles right now. Just slurping away at his noodles.
But back to some of the men I've met on the street in my neighborhood.
This is just my butthole. So she came right after I finished the movie. The movie was very stressful. We made a whole feature film. It's actually coming out next Friday at the Lemley Playhouse for a week. It's a rom-com about exes. You could have been in it. Next time.
Exodus, the gay group.
Exes. Oh, ex-lovers.
I see.
Very heteronormative. And in fact, it even has probably a bit of homophobia in it.
Does it star that gorgeous Indian-American
oh,
man?
Oh, yeah. The Indian-American. He's in it. He's just straight misogynist in it.
Oh, my God. I'm so crushed out on that guy.
He's had a little gorgeous dick. He's tasted a little dick.
Stop it.
No one's supposed to know this. We don't say that on air. So, wait, what do I tell you? So Janine came. I was so stressed. I was so excited to see her. And I'm historically very constipated because I love eating meat and spicy things.
I thought maybe it was your black tar heroin use.
No. I've never used drugs in my life. You know that about me, Paul.
Yes, I can tell. You're that
so
type of...
I pooped. It felt satisfying. I started wiping my butt. I was like, whoa, there's a piece of poop still hanging here.
A dingleberry?
I thought it felt like a large piece of poop hanging there. I tried to reach for it. It's not poop, man.
It was a ghost turd.
No, it's a fucking, I don't know if you've ever experienced, it's a fucking royal hemorrhoid, man.
Ooh.
And I had no idea what that was. And I looked at my ass in the mirror, you know, and that's why I'm trying to answer your question. I was like, what is this? And I spread my ass and I turned around into the mirror. And it was like a fucking prehistoric bird was coming out, like its tongue was coming out of my ass. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was a hemorrhoid. Janine, right at that moment, she knocks on my door. I open the door. I was like, I'm dying. I'm dying. You know, like in old movies when a woman faints or something because she finds out that her long lost like love is still alive or something. It was like that. I was like, I'm dying, night. And I showed her my butt to just know that I wasn't in a nightmare.
Oh,
you know?
That's so
cruel. And I showed
it
to her, and she looked at it, and she's like, it's crazy. What is that? And I just, like, you know, retched onto my bed. I just fell, and I just started crying. I can't go to brunch.
Wow.
I can't go to brunch. And then I looked up online, like, you know, 30 minutes later, and just, like, it's roids.
Got it.
And it's so easy to fix. You know how you fix that problem?
Epsom salt bath?
I didn't do that. I did this thing called a sitz bath.
I think it does shrink the swelling.
Yeah, it's a sitz bath.
A schwitz, exactly.
And then you just change your diet. And so I've been on a great diet the last year and a half, and it hasn't even flared up. It's like
the only time I ever had a hemorrhoid like that was in 1991. I was living in Amsterdam, and I had been doing so much brown, chalky heroin. Uh-huh.
It dehydrates you, huh?
You can't feel your, anything moving in the intestine. It slows the system down so much that anyone that knows anything about jazz artists or junkies that they get notoriously constipated. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, when you try to finally force one out, you can really rupture. Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was gnarly. I couldn't sit down for like
days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what it was right away though? Because in the heroin circles, they talk about this.
They talk about constipation, but thank God that's the only time in my life I could say that I had anything.
Did you stop using black tar heroin?
It was a brown, chalky substance. It's very different than black tar that you find here. Mexican shoe scraping is what they call it here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why were you using that? It was a certain type of high, or was it just really cheap?
Well, my first night in Amsterdam, my Moroccan
boyfriend.
No, the guy that cleans the rooms came in.
Have you been in a serious relationship ever?
You know, 2 years ago, I lasted for about a half a year with a darling African-American from Gary, Indiana.
Wow, it's the crime capital of America, they say.
And it all ended when we took a trip out to Death Valley to stay at Tacopa Hot Springs. We didn't have sex.
And that's a deal breaker for you or for him?
When you go on a little vacation,
you
like a 3 day. Right. And then you
don't.
At least
once.
Right.
3 days.
So we drove back from Death Valley looking, out of our perspective windows.
Oh.
Yes, it was the death knell of my relationship. I also went out with a very famous jeweler. His name is Neil Lane. scene. You can see him on, it's a jewelry ad for K Jewelers. Wow. I believe he's had a lot of plastic surgery.
Yeah,
it's
you like
very
that?
Wealthy man, older you man. Like- I met him while we were swimming laps together at the Hollywood YMCA, and we cruised each other in the showers. I took him back to my Silver Lake apartment. We smoked a joint, and
this?
I put it on a Hawkwind record.
Wow, he had no
and
idea what
blew
that was.
His mind.
Right.
The combination of the joint with the Hawkwind record.
With being in your place. So I'm
sure didn't even know who he was at the time.
His heart was racing, though, I bet.
He wanted more. And then he started taking me out to Palm Springs. I was screwing him
in
the
ass. And you were
definitely
having sex on those
Actually,
trips.
He very cruelly one time, I don't know how this happened, but he jammed his dick into my ass. And I've never felt such pain like that
what
in my
mean,
life.
Have
you ever?
It.
Well, you know, that is a technique used by some where you just pop it
just
in.
Like,
but
no warning.
No warning.
No lube,
oh my God.
No
ran
lube.
Out of the room.
You weren't even ready.
Oh, I mean,
you
people
just,
have no, you know, straights that have never experienced that.
Yeah,
would just
for sure.
Have no idea how excruciating the pain is. You
but
need
I'm
a shot
sure,
of tequila. You need some poppers
but I'm
or
sure
something.
A lot of straight, fucking, pathetic, disgusting, heteronormative cisgender males have done that to a lot of women.
Yes, they probably have. You see it on porn all the time. Those poor girls, you look at their faces, they're like, ouch, that hurts. There's nothing fun about that at all.
Ouch.
I mean, in the S&M community with some boy, you know, and some priest or something, there is some romantic kind of like...
Boy and a priest or S&M community or both?
I think you could tie the two together.
You think there's a relationship between boy and a priest and like Socrates and the young children?
Well, I'll tell you something just to go into a little tamer subject matter. I'm actually presently studying at USC to get my master's in education. And
they're going to say theology.
It is a don't ask, don't tell situation
academia
in schools,
is?
In academia, yes. It
in
quite
the
a
echelons
shock.
Of graduate school and
in
professors.
Education. In education.
Right. You think
USC,
there's a lot
is,
of homosexual men in who are teachers and professors and stuff who don't talk, who
don't. Yes, it's extremely progressive program, but we're in 2015 and there's been no mention whatsoever of sexual orientation. And I relate it to priests and molestations.
Yeah,
it's the same.
For sure. You repress it
you
and
repress
then it just comes
it.
Out in weird fucked up ways.
Yeah, so they hit all these other. But let's get back to the drugs and sex and
yeah,
all that
yeah.
more
hey,
fun
Paul,
stuff.
Hey, Paul, can I just say something? We're only, this goes by so fast. We're already 20 minutes into the show.
You're
exactly,
kidding
exactly.
Me.
But let me just say, and I've loved all of my guests who are on the show. And it's been great. This is probably the 12th or 13th episode. You're like you know how like on Johnny Carson or something there'd be like a guy who'd always come back and you'd just be like yeah he's the I don't know like fucking Robin Williams
20 minutes into it you're telling me this
I just
now.
Love you man like you know like because the show is called Open Up and Bleed you know
right
and a lot of people they're just hesitant they're like oh but my reputation like
yeah
like everyone's listening like you know no one's listening this is just me and you talking and it's fun and it's joyous and it's open.
Yeah.
And your butthole is bleeding.
That's right.
And so is mine. Different reasons.
Okay.
Hemorrhoids.
I really
want
to get back to some of these homeless tweakers I've been meeting
yeah.
in
well,
my neighborhood.
You know, there's that overpass on Vendome. Is that near your house?
Yes.
There's a, tell
That's
me about that because
okay.
I drive by that all the time and I'm curious about that.
So one of the guys I've met, his name is Gacky.
And he's not from Gary.
And another one's name is Clutter.
Clutter's a white dude?
Yes.
And he's young. Got pink hair?
Normal
hair?
Shorn, yeah. I mean, I love that three-day stubble.
Did you invite either Gack or Clutter? Gacky or Clutter to your house?
Now, I'm not going to mention that much detail, but...
Why? They're probably not listening. You mentioned about this guy, Neil Lane, who probably has like a reputation and people know him. No one knows Gacky.
Well, I'd like to get back
Clutter's
to...
Clutter's not going
to
hire a lawyer.
The Vendome Bridge, also the Hoover Bridge.
Okay,
a lot of the speed that's being sold down there is being sold by a trans person named Crystal. Who's from Tennessee, and she rides
Why
a motorcycle.
Why does that sound so familiar to me?
Well, I mean, it's incredible because she rides
so
her motorcycle at night holding a flashlight and wearing high heels.
Wow.
And she uses the heels to slow herself down as she goes
oh my God.
Down the hill. And
like,
I just think,
oh my
that's
God.
Freedom, baby. That's...
That's
Sagittarian
awesome.
Living.
That's American DIY entrepreneurialism
yes.
at its finest.
And
drug dealer, trans, on the motorcycle with the high heels, scraping by with the flashlight, saying, who's my customer?
She has imitators, other guys in drag, saying they're crystal, and it's not the real crystal.
Yeah, the real crystal has the good crystal.
Well, I mean,
have you tried any of it?
Should I disclose that? I'm in school right now.
You shouldn't disclose that.
I would say...
why? They give you drug
Skid Row
tests in school?
Is where you might get some good crack or
they give
not
you
good
drug
heroin,
tests in
but,
school?
No, not yet, no.
But you're on a scholarship?
No, I'm not.
Wow, you're taking out crazy loans.
Yeah, I'm taking out crazy loans. Yeah, exactly.
Do you ever think about that? You don't want to talk about that because then you have to think about it.
Well, it's really to just get me through the next 2 years and get me out of all the other credit card debt that I'm
right.
into from so, you know, it's robbing what, Peter to pay tall Paul.
You're happy with yourself. You're satisfied with yourself.
There's a guy named Red. There's also a guy.
So Crystal has good business. She
does have good business, and they've told me about gangbangs that happen under the bridge,
Vendo
in those
bridge.
Little like concrete cubicles. No, actually under Silver Lake Bridge, and that like the rich man pulls up in a limousine who wants to go up and watch it.
Oh, that's chill. That's like a dystopic future. The rich man in the limo pulls up and watches all of the homeless tweakers
gangbanging Crystal.
Oh, Crystal.
Yes.
Well, Crystal needs her own reality show because we know that transgender is so trending right now in 2015.
It really is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we and,
I'm
if,
down
and
with
if Crystal
this.
Was really DIY entrepreneurial, she would not be going around Hoover and Silver. She'd be up in Hollywood and WeHo connecting with a lot of these industry guys starting
But she's
her.
Way more San Francisco style, which is down and dirty.
I get that.
Yeah.
Do you think she comes from money?
No, but she's a businesswoman.
You ever talk to
sure.
her? No.
Absolutely.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
Has she ever shined her light
with these
on
people.
You?
She's been sweet to me.
You know, you're right. It's your neighborhood right now is so pathetic
yes.
and so lacking in any sort of human interest or empathy or even adventurousness that you are probably the only person left in your neighborhood who even talks to these people.
I know. I'm like Jacques Cousteau.
Underwater, baby.
That's right. Crustaceans.
Do you feel yourself closer to Gacky and Clutter than
100
to
John percent.
And like, you know, D, whatever.
Yes.
What do you think these guys' names are?
You know, I read something about Bukowski recently. He said, true artist write their best things among vagabonds.
Of course.
Yes.
I think true...
Not that I've read a lot of his work, but that resonated with me.
Are always... Like, I just saw the Picasso... You know, this is cliche. I saw a Picasso sculpture exhibit at the MoMA recently. And, like, I feel like all the stuff that... all the sculptures he was making always felt like he was on the precipice of squalor, even though in the back of my mind I knew that he was probably extremely wealthy at most periods
right.
of the sculpture.
But he liked dirt
but
and
he
dust.
Loved. And the first thing he would do when he got to any town, new town, is he would go and befriend the dump, the people who ran the dumps and
yes.
the scrap metal places. He'd become their friends. He'd hang out with them, and then he'd go and rummage.
You know,
you know,
it's also very Zen as well. There's been Japanese Zen, you know, spiritualists
mm.
who enjoy hanging out with under a bridge with
of
the
course.
Yes, of course.
Well,
and it's very Taoist too. The bottom water
Buddhist.
Travels to the lowest point. You have to be in touch. Know the white, stick to the black.
Yeah, exactly. Our culture, the Western culture, has a very different myth under the bridge. That's called troll, right? And the troll is something to be avoided.
Right. right?
And a troll is something disgusting and scary and that will entrap you.
Yeah,
right?
But actually it's a source of great wisdom.
Truth. And
can be.
And
or it's just totally
humor.
Pathetic. I mean, my Ukrainian psychologist, he's from Odessa.
Oh, that's where I'm from,
goddamn. Klasna.
You have a crush on her? You've been going to her for about 3 years now.
No, 2 years now. She really tells it like it is. I like that. She's not an intellectual. She has a heavy accent. Her English isn't that great.
Does she understand what you're saying?
Not so much.
She doesn't understand like your nuanced humor, but she loves your facial expressions.
Right.
Like your body language and your face is like enough for her to understand when you're lying, when you're performing, and maybe when you're being open.
I mean, last session, which was yesterday, I was like, well, it's very romantic to enjoy being mugged by Moroccan hustlers in Paris. Well, she didn't get it. She didn't understand that. She has no sense of the history of that at all.
Right, the history of that. Yes. It's Fassbender. It's Pasolini. Yes.
So like many whatever, Truman Capote, whatever.
Yeah.
So you robbed me. I got to look at your, you know, pudenda.
So would you, a personal question, would you rather hang out with me or with clutter?
Both.
At the same damn time.
At the same time with you filming it.
Oh, should I?
Verite.
Don't you think they would be like, okay, you hang out with them. You're their buddy. They trust you. If I show up and you're like, hey, this is my friend Eugene. And I was just filming it all on my cell phone. Do you think they would think it's weird? Probably.
I have a lot of old crappy digital cameras. And certainly I wouldn't want to bring a nice camera or an iPhone into that midst.
Have they robbed you yet? Any of these guys?
Yes, I've been robbed, sure.
Like, what are they... These recent guys, or, like, in the past?
Well, I actually did a little thing about this Moroccan guy robbing me in Paris.
Right. But, and, I mean, here, these dudes.
You know, little things here and there. But sometimes I'm
You own your house or you rent it?
I rent it.
How long have you been renting it?
Well, I've lived in Silver Lake for over 20 years, but I've been in my one apartment for 16 years now.
Is it rent controlled?
It is rent controlled. You know, next door, the woman that's lived there for 40 years, 86-year-old woman, she just had a heart, you know. Now she's in a assisted living. Damn. So I'm witnessing the entire... I mean, let's get serious. This is the first time I could say I'm experiencing gentrification in the most assaultive... culture shock way. It is shocking to look out my window and see frat type
exactly.
Dudes.
That's the end.
It's like
that's the end.
Whoa,
game. Frat
whoa!
Bros.
I left high school at 18 to look
get away from
to
this shit.
Never. You
Return.
Know. So it's not something I'm taking lightly at all.
I
find it. Yeah, I find it really.
But what's the rebellion? I mean, like either. You want to hold on to your place because it's rent controlled. It's a very nice place.
Right.
You've made a home there.
And, you know, I can't wait for the Whole Foods to move in as well. Silver Lake is going to go
though.
Off when that Whole Foods
you're
comes
kidding.
In. And I bring it. Yeah. I want to get a good loaf of bread like
you
anyone
do.
Else. Sure. And some
well,
organic
what about,
sausages.
Like, but don't you resent things like squirrel? And, like, you know, there was a coffee
I cross the street and I go, toy, toy, toy.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. But how is Whole Foods different from squirrel?
Because I'm
you can't
a gentleman, a cosmopolitan at the same time that I hang out with Clutter and Gacky. And
yeah.
I, you know, who knows? I might want to make a panini
are you
for them.
Cook?
Or,
are you a good cook?
I am a good cook. I'm
You've
also growing a lot of herbs in my... You know what I made for the very first time? Pickles, which is so trendy.
I just said, like, not it's trendy. To make
pickling things is like a
is?
Portlandia gag. I mean,
okay,
we've been hearing
well,
about this forever.
Said, you know, I'm Russian. I'm Jewish Russian. So
they're
I
good
just,
for you.
I just went home like 2 weeks ago, and we had pickles and pickled watermelon and pickled tomatoes, and that's like traditional. It's not trending. It's traditional.
I only found out that it was potentially good for you. I think the jury's out
no,
on
it's
if pickles
biotics.
Are good for you.
It's,
I think it is.
It
and
is
I use, you know, this Korean apple
exactly,
cider vinegar
the
that I buy at
ship.
The farmer's market.
Yeah.
But
like a few hours ago when I was like running late to here, I said, I really want pickles.
It's my
good?
Favorite.
Did you make
good? They were incredible. And you know
and
what
you
else?
You finished them, right?
I
you
grow
don't have
herbs
left.
In my little herb garden outside, and there's something very witchy about because you pick things like the flowers from
yeah,
like
for
the
sure.
chives and put it
yeah.
in the pickle jar.
Yeah.
And there's something very like yes, very Excalibur.
You ever think about frogs? I'm thinking about frogs a lot lately. They're so
well,
cool.
Well, my friend Flannery has been living in the LA River searching for frogs to cast in his music video.
Has he been living there?
A little bit. I don't know if he's listening right now. Probably not.
Did you ask him to listen? I know Flannery.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Great actor. Talented guy.
I think he's a really talented guy. We had a minor dispute.
Well, he's out of his mind.
Yeah. I actually think he's a really talented guy.
Yeah.
I asked him to help
me. Tacky to talk about other people, though, like that. So, well, love you, Flannery.
I'm not saying anything bad about him.
Right.
I just said, I think he's a really talented
guy.
Yeah,
talented guy.
He's a very interesting guy, and he knows a lot of stuff.
He sure does.
And then we just had a minor...
A thespian, and a musician, and a songwriter.
No, he's a really talented guy.
Yes.
But he's mad.
Well,
in that Shakespearean way.
You know, this is something that comes up at my psychologist's office. I'm fascinated by those types of people. I think they're a great source of...
Inspiration
and poetry. It's very Rambo-like, you know, the deranged person that goes down in the depths to bring back.
Well, I was gonna say that. I think a real artist always on the precipice of being like having a squalid life, and I think any real artist, if they walk the streets like they should, which is so rare here in LA, it's pathetic. But first of all, when I first moved here, I would only walk. And I always felt like I was so close to becoming homeless.
The flaneur.
Yeah, but not even in that way.
That's related.
No, I mean, that's
looking into store windows. Yeah,
but I just, because I'm from New York, you know, and that like stimulates me. That's how I grew up, walking.
Very much.
And looking. And
it's superior to driving.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
It takes longer.
Well, I mean, sometimes people walk in LA and there's so much traffic and they think, oh, I'm on the spot. People are seeing me. No, you are superior to those people in the car.
No, that's
occupy
cool.
The sidewalks.
I like that. Look at me. I mean, this is like, that's our only opportunity here besides Squirrel. Our only opportunity to be like in Paris on the Champs-Élysées, where all the cafes are and be looked at. Is if you're flaunting yourself during traffic.
Yes.
They should make a walkway on the freeways, you know?
Right. I walk everywhere. I love the metro here. I take it all the time.
I never do.
Last week, feeling a little down, and I just walked to the subway station. I took it to the Vine Hollywood spot.
Oh, yeah.
And I walk around.
Yeah. Hollywood's kind of great to walk around. So there's something there.
Yes.
Even with all the tourism, even with all the cleaning,
it'll always be there. They're not going to get rid of that.
I have a distaste for like contemporary forms of like riffraff that gathers in like Hollywood or Times Square. It's so.
Well, it was
fucking,
like the East Side better, but
no. It's so fucking like capitalistic. Like everyone who's going there is like going there with like a purpose to like either spange or do their Spider-Man, SpongeBob shit. It like kind
and
of,
you don't like that kind of honesty
nah,
and
kind
American
nah,
just
it kind of, it kind of
meat
ruined,
grinder.
It kind of ruins it. I kind of just wish it was a little bit more like pure, a little more like I'm bored.
I mean,
I just want to be here. I'm bored.
I think we once talked about what Paul Morrissey said about Hollywood and the filmmaking business here, and that there's never been a city that has produced quite as much trash that has ground out the grinder as many talentless people coming here to find something and end up porn actors on crystal meth in the valley. And we love that. He does not. But
But Paul Morrissey, of course, does. Like, he is such a... what do you call it? A bullshitter. You know what I mean? Like, Paul Morrissey
I think so too.
So transparently...
His attitude about drug addicts,
so
too. He's like, oh, I thought that all those people...
fetishizes... all of these things that he's completely critical of, right? He has a conservative sort of veneer that he, like, his shtick is to be, like, the crotchety old man conservative motherfucker who hates everything around him, yet he finds this way to aestheticize and celebrate it. It's an attack. Sure it is, buddy.
Well, you know? I mean, one of his early films is like two Puerto Rican guys shooting up, and he said, I wanted to document how pathetic drug addiction is.
Yeah.
And it's
and
like,
it looks so cool,
so you just
beautiful.
Hung out with all these like people shooting up speed because
you
disapprove
you
so much?
Deuce?
It doesn't make sense.
Is that one?
You know, I'm not sure. Is that
a short film by him
or something?
It's a Paul Morrissey feature film from the early 80s with Kevin Bacon in it.
Based on the play.
With the hustlers going around.
The Haymarket is the...
Exactly, and they're like, they kill a guy. It starts
I've read
with
the play.
A dead jump.
Right, yeah.
And the movie, the movie is basically broken up in two parts because it's an adaptation of the play, right? So the first half isn't really, it's like kind of improvised extra material where they're on the streets on fucking 42nd Street and 7th and yes. Broadway and 4th, and it is awesome. It's some of Paul Morrissey's best filmmaking. The second half is basically a filmed theatrical performance. Like, they set up 4 cameras in the studio, and that was shocking to me because I did not like that. It's, you know, it's just like you're watching fucking PBS on a Sunday and you're watching a theater, which is fine. But you have like 40 minutes of gripping, dynamic cinema. There's the guy who's sort of like the kingpin, like enforcer dude in that is incredible. Kevin Bacon knocks out
the park. But you didn't like the theatrical part, right?
No, I didn't.
You know what I
got to
say about you, Eugene? Of all the filmmakers I know, you, I believe, understand verite better than any of the other. Yes. What I categorize as verite.
Thank you.
I thought Feast of Burden, the clips where you caught the actors not acting or scratching their noses or rolling their eyes or looking tired was genius. And I saw your influences there, and I thought you pulled off verite.
Thank you, Paul. I had an opportunity tonight. This is to show you how much I love my radio show, and I'm so excited that you're on. And usually, like I say, introduce yourself. I haven't even said that. I haven't even asked you to tell people who you are, but it doesn't matter. Because if they can't tell who you are from all the fucking incredible stuff you're saying, then they don't deserve to listen.
That's right. But
I was going to say, I'm had an narcissist. Opportunity tonight to go see Werner Herzog kind of give a lecture in person. And I chose to do the show instead, even though I think he's a genius, even though I think not some, but let's say half of his movies are boring or potentially terrible. But one thing he believes in that I also believe in is this idea of like ecstatic truth, right? Like defining what the truth is by arriving at something that is beyond morality, beyond document, beyond like what you might call like fact, right?
Well, and it's art. So yeah, so few filmmakers understand.
But arriving at something that's beyond that. So that's what I'm after, right? Like, I'm not after like a real document or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not after something entirely fake too. Right? That's why I cast all this. So Paul was in this web show that I made called Feast of Burden, and you know, you originally weren't in the script. There wasn't that landlord character. And we hung out where I saw you do like a performance live, and I said, oh God, I gotta rewrite this whole thing. I think I have my Marilyn.
Right.
You know, like I have my Marlena.
Oh, right, honey. Yeah. So, that was a blast.
Yeah, it was fun. So you know, it was all about capturing everyone. And I just had to say, I really want you to see my new movie if you can make it out. Because, you know, the whole thing about my new movie, it's about exes, and it's starring me and my ex-girlfriend. And we're really acting out, like, the baggage from our relationship on camera. And all of these very fictionalized, over-the-top characters interact with her. She's a really serious actress.
Right.
And they're interacting with her. And I would love to put you guys in a scene together.
Oh.
You know, it didn't happen. But you know, taking the world of Feast of Burden.
I just can't wait.
Taking the world of Feast of Burden and combining it with, like, a serious actress. You know? Isn't
sounds
that funny?
Great. Now, I believe you were possibly going to write a script about the art world.
Oh, my. Well, yeah. You know, we never really met up because I sent that to you and you read it. You had some ideas.
Yes.
Did you think overall that it was intriguing?
Well, I mean, I emailed you back and I said that
you gave me
just
in a
humor
thought.
I thought if you're gonna go for humor,
it's got to be more over the top.
Well, that perhaps your imagery was focused on some kind of classic decadent tropes, you know, kind of Jean-Michel Basquiat type or a kind of New York artist type, but I thought, God, there's a gold mine of ridiculousness in relational aesthetics right now. So there's this whole kind of peace and love, like, come to my studio and I'll bake muffins for everybody,
right?
And we'll
that's...
hand them out to, you know, impoverished children or something.
And that's actually the person's practice.
And that's the person's practice. And
let me say this.
That's funny.
That is definitely funny. And potentially the script I sent you or the whatever I sent you is not as funny. But my goal was just in my limited purview of what the art world or the Los Angeles art world is, is to really critique that. And can I say something devilish, a little bit maybe pathetic, if you will?
Go for it.
I want a normal person to watch this film and have access to these characters and understand what the fuck they're about. Because every time you see a artist or the art world depicted in a movie, it's always a one-line joke. But you could make a one-liner about relational aesthetics and it would kill in a movie. But people don't actually get what art is and like what that practice is and how much money is in there and like who the players are and why they play.
It's like, infinitely parodyable.
It's infinite. I agree. I'm not saying I can't do that. I'm just saying that that feels tired to me.
I know what you mean, but I can't resist continuing to mock and make endless farces based on the complete meaninglessness of art and art making in 2015.
You're a person who loves farce. But would you?
It's a go-to if you're doing low-rent theater
but
with your friends.
Would you? How would you feel if someone said you are a farcical person?
You know, her name, I believe, is Catherine Taft. She's an art critic. She called me an absurdist.
Well, that's a compliment.
I was offended, actually.
You were.
She was reviewing my performance at, what are we above right now? That's that place called?
Human Resources.
Human Resources, where I played heavy metal guitar on rollerblades. I played guitar very well. One might say I shredded. I don't think that's absurd.
Oh, but you know, the sort of combination of the roller skates and the guitar and your height.
I thought she was,
she didn't comment on your skill set at all.
She didn't comment on my skill set. Yeah.
I think that's a huge comment, though, an absurdist.
You know,
to be able to remain absurd in the face of all the... It's actually easier. I was going to say, in the face of all the self-seriousness and the vanity and the posturing and the sort of like...
Don't get me wrong. I love absurdists. You know, Ariel Pink is playing tonight. The guy's an absurdist as well.
Yeah,
I used to work with this group, Los Super Elegantes.
Right.
They taught me a lot about performance art. They were absurdists, 100%. So I do like the...
I would say Ariel's definitely more of a straight provocateur than you are, though.
Straight provocateur?
No, I don't mean straight. I don't mean straight, like, orientation-wise. Don't you think he's willfully provocative? Maybe just because he has a platform to engage with.
Over the years, I've known him well enough and seen enough of his work ethic and practices to know that he's doesn't think. Thinking is not.
But you don't necessarily have to be super thoughtful or planned out to be provocative. That might be an instinct. You know.
I'm not really making a
that
point
might be an
at all. I just can relate to that in my own art making practice.
I don't mean to make
which
like,
is
a
relates to absurdist. Absurdist. You know, like just.
I'm not an absurdist. Right.
Boy.
You get taxonomical.
Feast of Burden doesn't make any sense as a title.
Yeah, does it? It's like a Beast of Burden just rhymes with that. See, I'm analytical.
Exactly.
I'm a poet.
I don't think you overthink it.
My problem in life is that I overthink. Whenever, whenever I actually listen to the stupid nothings in my head and I say that's dumb and I write it down and I don't revise it at all, those are my most successful, I don't want to say brilliant because whatever, but they're my most successful ideas. And whenever I try to meticulously craft and revise and conceive of something, it just comes out rotten and staid, right? That's the word staid.
Yes, it is a word. I think
stilted.
It's spelled S-T-A-I-D.
I-D, like aid.
I just hate conceptual art so much.
I just posted on the Twitter thing, America's Funniest Conceptual Frameworks. Is that funny?
As a TV show, I'd be on that TV show for sure.
America's Funniest Conceptual Frameworks.
Yes. Almost like, so you think you can dance, so you think you can make conceptual art?
So you think
that would be good.
So you think you can relate aesthetically?
But You know, as a teacher, I would say, don't think. So what is your goal? Don't think. Because you
What's
need to channel the intuitive.
School? What's your goal? To be a professor?
You've done that.
You've been a
teacher. It's normcore. I want to wear khakis. I want to wear Tevas. I want to wear a USC sweatshirt, which is that really ugly oxblood color with gold.
Can you think
it's
of,
the ultimate normcore
look. Can you
look.
Think of any university brand that has been so embraced by the exploited community that usually surrounds a major American university? Like,
ooh, that was too
I feel like
smart for me to understand. You know what I'm talking
about?
I have no idea what
like
you just
the
said.
Trojan like clothes and the colors and all of that are like really like the people
it's
who live
cool
around
though
USC
they sign up
it.
All their emails with fight on they
no,
call you a
the
Trojan
act, not the people who go to USC like the people who actually live in that neighborhood who aren't students.
It's a mashup, just like my block on Silver Lake is. It's just a little island of weird fascist, you know, throwback to. But it's not. It's actually pretty cool. I do like it. And I like the martial symbolism. I like
you like that.
I like the fight on thing.
Like, so if you were in ancient Greek times, you prefer to be Spartan than an Athenian. Is that what you're saying?
Hell no.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me? But I do think education and academia and trying to educate young people is a fight, and you can relate, and
sure.
It's a noble fight. And, you know, maybe I, in a weird way, I'm definitely older now, and I don't relate to the art and culture experience. And I think I want to, you know.
Do you feel jaded by Do you feel like the art and culture experience is no longer relevant?
I think it's no longer relevant.
In the general sort of, I don't want to say culture because culture is retarded, but in the general sort of sphere of interesting people, it's irrelevant.
It's just played out to the max, and we are just seeing
well,
like,
that's what my movie's
you know,
about. That's what I'm trying to critique.
Right.
That.
The mediocrity.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
The sort of like maneuvering and the fact that it's a career path. And the,
yes.
You know.
Oh, God.
And the fact that all the people in it are just so safe.
Yes.
And they're investors. Even the artists are investors.
We were talking about the endless parody. I mean, you were saying it's been played out, but it is endlessly
fascinating. But this isn't parody. This is not parodic. This is actually a reflection of the reality. Everything that's in my thing is not farcical. It's reality. Do you know what I mean? Like, nothing gets me angrier, and I have friends whom I love who do this, than an artist who's considering strategy before, like, vision.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Which the art schools are nowadays.
My God. What's my strategy?
Yes.
Oh, I can't show there because they have this reputation. I just want to make sure my first showing is, like, here. Ooh. And it's the right move. It's like, dude, you have something you want
to
say? You have something you want
to
communicate?
To say.
Just spit it out.
You have nothing to say.
Get it out there. If you actually had this thing you wanted to put out there, you would just do it.
So true.
You wouldn't wait for the right boss.
I'm so lucky I went to the Cooper Union back in the day when the teachers were not talking about your career or talking about selling your work. It was, do you have something to fucking say?
I'll say something, Paul. Did you fart?
No, but
I
wonder if it's
that?
My chajo. Well, I gotta say, this is the most decrepit space I've ever been in my life.
On.
That hallway walking up here is like...
Oh, yeah, it's
oh
like
my
Rape Alley.
God, is that like an Asian thing or something?
Hey, I just moved, man. I just got a lease today. I just signed a lease.
In this building?
No, but right close to here. I've been living in the same shithole studio, right, for 5.5 years now. I don't know if you've ever been over, but it's really small. It's about the size of this room. And
it's a home.
It's a home. It has a porch. It's true. It's nice.
You, when you were at my house, you said you liked my apartment and you thought it was a home.
You are a great homemaker. Do you care about the fact that your longest relationship was 6 months? Like, do you say to yourself, do you ever think, like, oh, it'd be nice to just be steady with someone?
Well, this is what me and my Ukrainian
whatever.
Psychologist talk about constantly.
Why do you qualify her nationality?
Because she's from the same town that you're from.
You little
Klasna.
What do you guys talk
about? Well, I just... God wants to torture me with... I'm lost for words. Just the most painful, lonely existence.
Like you're the
cross to bear, like a saint, You're, like my tears are
Simon
God's gift to me. Like Simon of the desert, exactly.
Except you...
Sainthood. I'm tested for
how
sainthood.
How many times would you say you had sexual relations with people in your life? Would you say over 10,000 times?
Sex with people?
Sex, even just not even penetration, just penis.
You know, I have had jack-off sessions with bi-curious straight guy. The list could go on and on of people you know,
of
actually.
Course.
I could describe their genitalia in detail.
Yeah.
And how far they shot their cum after the hours of, oh my God.
Hours?
So exciting to see
why
someone hit the ceiling.
Hours?
Those memories. You are a goody-goody. Why would it take hours?
I don't know.
Google it.
I just take 3 minutes. I just get it
man,
out there.
I
got other stuff I need to take care of.
Yes, you do.
I'm a busybot.
You should have sex on one white powder drug at least once in your life.
Never.
You don't want to do it. Okay.
No.
Yeah. Feels great.
I'm too scared feel too good, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, that's good.
I
think that's
great.
I think that, you know.
I have an addictive personality.
And it's so similar to my psychologist.
Yeah, exactly. We're
goody-goody. Yeah, well, you have a, you know, maybe it's a Russian thing. You understand. You've got willpower well.
No, I don't. Because if I had willpower...
Don't you think that's a trait of the people from that region?
I don't like to stereotype, you know?
Yes, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Because actually,
But when a Russian person tells you, you can do it!
Yeah.
You can do it.
They're really... Well, you know why? Because the culture itself... is really not encouraging. Like, the history of Russian culture is one of brutality, you know, and of, like, the only thing that uplifts in the history of Russian culture is God or its replacement, communism. Like, you know, those are the only things that, like, maybe people feel better or whatever. But,
yeah, but
essentially,
the genetics are great there. There's something about the landscape that produces, you know, great ballet dancers and, I don't know, athletic
Paul,
or something.
We're coming to the
great
end of the show now, if you can even believe it. There's something I do at the end of every one of my episodes. First, I'm going to ask you to pick a number, okay?
Okay.
3.
Okay.
8.
Yeah.
Or 21.
8.
Okay. In your perfect tall Paul Gelman Silver Lake Legend world, just your world, what is the perfect scenario for you 8 months from now?
You know, it's interesting you use the word perfect, because in tarot, the number 8 represents perfection.
Huh, right.
Represented by justice, the card justice. You know, a spider has 8 legs.
Right.
The mandala, 8 as well.
Right.
So 8 months from now would be, and we are in October, which is the 8th oct.
Oh, right. Oct.
Get it? In astrological terms,
right,
it is the 8th.
There's a Roman thing there.
Well, I think it does correspond to the 8th astrological sign. I'm not sure.
Okay, I believe you.
So 8 from now, November, is my birthday in May of next year.
Okay.
Yes.
How old will you be turning? Will you tell us?
Oh, 40 fucking 8.
Wow, 48.
Yeah.
And that's also a multiple of 8. So we're here.
This
6
is
times 8.
Very mystical, which is very Russian as well.
Yeah, that's true.
I am going to be, like I said, wearing Tevas, khakis, and a USC sweatshirt. I will be going to the gym all the time.
School's about
Hair
to be-
will be back in a ponytail.
Wow.
I will have a really good-looking, sober boyfriend who I go to Whole Foods with.
And right by your house. The Whole Foods is right by your house.
And sometimes maybe we'll go down to Nature Well to get a juice. You know, Green Power something.
Green Power something.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. I will have gotten into Bikram yoga and...
Wow, sweaty yoga.
Sweaty yoga. I'm also going to take Yiddish. Actually,
huh.
Yeah.
You speak German?
Well, ein bisschen de Deutsche.
Yeah, it helps if you know German.
Yeah, ausgezeichnet.
Is that Yiddish? Or
and
German?
I can read Hebrew.
Oh, you can?
The letters and yeah,
wow,
it was bar mitzvah and went to Hebrew school.
You know,
I,
I'm Jewish.
I but you're circumcised, right?
No. That's as much as you'll get here on Open Up and Bleed. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Paul, I thank you with all of my love and all of my heart for doing this. It's been such a pleasure, and I really hope to have you on as soon as possible again.
Klasna.
Очень классно. Tune in next week for another wonderful guest, and I'll be going heavy promoing Wonderful Cloud next week, because we'll be opening at the Lemley Theater in Pasadena Playhouse on Friday, October 16th, doing 4 screenings a day for a whole week.
I'm in a group art show at Adobe Bookstore in San Francisco, November 6th.
Okay, so please check that out after you've seen my film. You'll definitely want to ride up to San Francisco because you hate what's going on in LA. And check out. Are you going?
To the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also performing my new play called Throw Down the Sword.
There at the opening?
Yeah, I'm writing a play.
Well, maybe I'll come up too.
Yeah, you should. We're going to do an LA showing too. Probably at Nick Amato's place.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, that's been another episode of Open Up Bleed. Thank you. Stay tuned for a strip mall with our dear friend Eric Felix. Good night.
Nice.